My name is Henry Ojenya. I am the programs manager of Caris Healthcare and Community Support Initiative. Caris Healthcare is a community-based NGO, a faith-based organization that provides a repertoire of care to people that are experiencing psychological problems, or basically providing mental health services for individuals, families, and communities. We provide care in terms of prevention, education, providing clinical care, spiritual care. Of course, because we're a faith-based organization, we provide clinical and spiritual care. Also, we have recovery groups. We provide life skill training, support, coaching for individuals who would need basic life skill training and development. We also provide community-based interventions. So we go to the community, we establish safe spaces. We also do advocacy, do sensitization in communities, all around mental health. The mental health bill came out of the Lunacy Ordinance of 1916, but we actually know it, like the name is usually called, the Lunacy Act of 1958. And we're looking at how this bill had gone through a lot of trying to be reformed and a lot of other activities around trying to see how it would be enacted and implemented, from 2003, where the House of Assembly raised the issue again, to 2009, 2019, and then 2020. This bill has gone through a lot of reform, yet it still carries some stigmatizing words, some stigmatizing names that makes it difficult for us to carry on with our work, especially around advocacy for improved mental health services. So let's just take a look at what the bill says first. Then, you know, we can now look at how it affects us and how it supports us. So the bill from the beginning looked at people, individuals experiencing mental health, and sees them as lunatics. So people that are going through mental health issues, and connects that to the magistrates and medical practitioners. So looking at the medical practitioners have the right to detain an individual for at least 7 days without authorization from the magistrate. So if a magistrate sees that, okay, this guy needs to be checked into an asylum, the medical practitioner could actually detain them, put them in the facility in an asylum for 7 days. And after then, that individual can be released to the magistrate. So the magistrate has a decision over that individual. This makes it difficult for us to work, because we know that suicidal intentions, suicidal ideations are actually issues emanating from psychological problems. So an individual experiencing psychosis could be suicidal. And at that point, we see that this individual should actually be checked into mental health facilities. So the issues around our Lunacy Act approach to addressing mental health problems makes it difficult for us to work, because individuals experiencing mental health problems should actually be taken to a mental health facility for treatment. Now, making it more difficult is the fact that treatment is only domiciled in tertiary institutions. We actually have the National Mental Health Service policy that supports that mental health services should be accessible in primary health centers. That's not the scenario in Nigeria. As a CSO or a CBO, or individuals working in treatment facilities, we expect that at least in the local government areas or rural areas, people should be able to access care, even if it's not holistic care, but it should be basic care. And then when a psychological first aid is being provided, we can now hinge on that provision that has been made, and continued care could be done. So it makes it difficult for us to work with individuals, because there's no humane approach from our Lunacy Act, which is not highlighted there, and also medical approach that should be given to people experiencing mental health problems. Personally, my fear for Nigeria is the fact that what we are experiencing right now, we might in the near future have an epidemic of mental health challenges, because we have young people. Even today, I was watching on the news, looking at the security challenges we're experiencing. We have more young people exposed to traumatic events. You have more youths now being kidnapped, and there's no psychological first aid for them. So we celebrate their return, but there's nothing in place for them. These young people are not about giving trauma care. So there's a possibility that a little stressor could trigger post-traumatic stress disorder for them. Now, teenagers are experiencing a lot of issues, a lot of challenges. We have a hit of COVID also, which of course has brought about a lot of other stressors. Now, you watch the news, most times what you see on the news are challenges of people being kidnapped, people experiencing a lot of insecurity issues and all that. So there's a possibility that we might have an epidemic of mental illnesses in Nigeria. But how many psychiatrists do we have in Nigeria that could provide such care to people? How many treatment facilities do we have in Nigeria that could also provide treatment options for people? Now, treatment is only domiciled in the tertiary institutions like the Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospitals. We need our legislations to also be centered around mental health issues that is being faced in Nigeria from the point of establishment of institutionalized facilities that could provide evidence-based care. And then also we looking at how to support people working in the field of mental health. The challenge that we have is the fact that the mental health bill propagates stigma. It doesn't bring out a more humane approach in addressing mental health problems or a medical approach. So it makes it now difficult for us to work. If we have a legislation that supports individuals undergoing mental health challenges and makes them, even from the community level, makes people to see that they are ordinary people, just that they are being worse hit by this problem. So any individual, anybody could have a mental health problem. Since we have physical health, so you could have mental health too. Take for instance, Caris, even as we provide free care, we still have a low turnover level in terms of clients coming to Caris. Why? Because the stigma level is actually high out there. Even organizations around us or neighbors around us, they look at us as those guys working with mad people. So it even makes it more difficult for you to work with individuals, because sometimes people sneak into the facility because they feel like they are being stigmatized out there. If the bill could look thoroughly at issues of stigma, if the bill could take a segment and look at that, it will actually be supportive. Now, we go to the community and provide sensitization. We do as much as we can to make individuals in the community know that people undergoing mental health problems are ordinary people. But as much as you do, it's just like a little drop of water in an ocean. We need the government to support NGOs, support faith-based organizations, support community-based organizations, support treatment centers, so that we could have people coming into facilities for their mental health checkup. Now, also, we have very, very little professionals that are working in the mental health service area. Why? Because the bill doesn't make provision for these individuals. So if we can have that provision in the bill and inclusiveness of mental health treatment, even in the National Health Scheme, the NHIS, then it makes it easier. So that people know that, okay, I need to do my mental health checkup the way we go to the hospital for hospital checkup. So it could also make it supportive for us. Now, funding is not really available for individuals who are working in this field, because psychiatrists, psychologists, mental health nurses are not seen as individuals who are responding as much as they can. We are happy that in Nigeria, of course, people are becoming more aware of their mental health and they're responding in appropriate manners. But we hope that if we have a bill that has been signed and is already being implemented, it will increase our activity level and help also people receiving care to respond appropriately. Well, for the operating environment for NGOs working in our sector seem not to be pretty conducive. And why I'm saying that is because NGOs work in terms of not only out of passion, but when funding is available, because sometimes you get to a point where you're stuck. And so we try as much as we can to provide support and care in that aspect. Let's take even one aspect of the mental health, for instance, which is drug use and drug problem. There's an epidemic of drug problem in Nigeria. When we go to the community to provide care for individuals with drug use problems, sometimes we get agencies that are working, government agencies like NDLEA, come to raid and even arrest professionals healthcare workers in those communities. If there's an awareness of mental health generally, we know that substance abuse, drug abuse is also a mental health problem. Drug dependency is a mental health problem and needs medical approaches. So criminalizing drug users rather than sending them for treatment is not a better approach to resolving the problem. Drug supply should be really done towards people selling these drugs, not people using the drugs. People using the drugs and are dependent on the drugs should be sent for treatment. Prevention approaches should be done. So it makes it difficult for us to work because we're trying to provide sensitization in the community, trying to provide treatment in community. It's really difficult. So aside that, also sustainability. So you go to provide, take for instance, psychological first aid, and you expect that after then, you have just nipped the issue at the tip. So you expect that after then, there should be a community responsiveness. But if it's not livelihood, if it's not economic empowerment, if it's not environmental issues, then you don't get support. You don't get funding. You don't get community backing. So it's really difficult. Because you have to first stir up community interest before they begin to support you. Mental health is not like physical health. Mental health is not like environmental problem. Mental health is not like educational problem. Take education, for instance. You know that if you are providing educational support in a community, if it's that you want them to have tertiary education, it has a timeline for it. You know, 4 years, they have timeline for them. But mental health are relapsing conditions. So in terms of you going to provide support, people are like, okay, I've supported this individual for 2 years now and he's not getting better. So there's a lack of support because people get tired. So NGOs providing mental health support, I give kudos to everyone working in that field, because sometimes you think you're done with an individual's treatment and then you get to hear that he didn't take his medication and he relapsed. So you have to start from square one again. And sometimes these individuals need to be on medication for life. And then you get to meet with their religious bodies and they are taught not to take their medications because they need to believe in someone almighty or someone in the universe, and they stop taking their medications. So after some years, you see this client again comes back to you explaining that, I've not taken my medication, that's why I've relapsed, and then you need to start all over again. So the environment is not really conducive in terms of funding, supportiveness from communities, supportiveness from institutions. Stigma also makes it really difficult for us to work. And then also in terms of sustainability. A unique experience. Of course, I wouldn't mention names for confidentiality reasons. I have a lot that's flooding into my head. So I recently, we had to provide trauma care for young children, age 12, thereabout 9 to 12 years old, who were molested by a foreigner in Nigeria. Over 9 of these children were molested. This happened since May. And no form of intervention was provided for them. The only thing that was provided for them was the fact that they had to go to a primary health center and there was no reproductive checkup for these young children. There was no trauma care provided for them. We had to start looking at legal services that could address the issues that they had faced because it had to do with a foreigner. Our police system were actually compromised. So we had to begin to look at legal issues, provision of legal issues for them. Another is a young man who was abandoned in the streets, eating from the bin, and the family had issues with him because they felt if they support him, because a religious organization said if they have something to do with him, all of them in the family will come down with mental health problems. So the young man was abandoned. We knew that the family could support him, get care, but he was abandoned and he had to start eating from the bin. His situation got worse until we found him because he was coming to us for counseling. So we found him somewhere and we had to take him to a facility because we just provide outpatient care. We don't have an inpatient facility. Looked for funding for him, which was really difficult, but we had to squeeze out of the little we had to support him. And he's doing well right now. He's learning a skill. So we have several experiences with individuals experiencing mental health problems. Highlight for me for my work is the fact that you see a young man come in with maybe a drug problem or with a mental health problem, struggling to cope, and then then over months, you see them smiling out, people not talking to you, individuals paranoid, individuals thinking suicidal. And after some months of treatment, giving them medications, providing counseling support for them, you see them connecting back with family again. It's amazing. Two things for me, basically, for Nigerians. So for COVID and also for insecurity in Nigeria, right? So after COVID, we know there have been a lot of economic issues. People have lost their jobs and all that. There's something we call in Caris PegMate. And PegMate is just a simple model that we're trying to create that could help individuals work on their mental health in prevention. So we say, okay, you should practice exercise, eat good food, have an appreciative attitude. So you have to look at what is actually working for you. Sure, you might not have good things working around you, but there are some things that are working for you. You should also talk to a friend, talk to a professional, talk to someone who could be supportive to you. In terms of looking at also issues around insecurity, there are some gory pictures that we should protect our mental health by not watching. So this is what we do in Caris. This is what we do in my organization. When you bring a picture or you bring a video and say, have you seen this video about the killing in so so and so? Please come and see. Please just describe it. I'm not going to watch. Just describe what you've seen. It's important for us to protect what we see. The eyes are windows to the heart. The eyes are the window to our brain, to whatever we see. Whatever we see, we interpret it in our brain and then it affects us mentally. Try as much as possible to protect what we see. Sometimes it's good to watch the news. Yes, it's good to have the firsthand experience of knowing what's going on. But it's also more important for us to protect our mental health. So sometimes change the channel. It's important for us to sleep at least 7 hours in a day. Now, it's important for us to begin to look at the way we feel. Sometimes it's really difficult for us to express our feelings, but we should look at the way we feel inwardly. So how do you feel? Like, I wake in the morning, I don't feel like taking my bath, I don't feel like talking to anybody, I don't feel like going out of the room, I don't feel like turning my lights on. There are certain indicators that will make me know that there's a possibility that I'm having symptoms of depression. I feel suicidal. I feel like causing harm to myself. So at this point, I should respond appropriately by talking to someone about the way I feel, calling a professional. We need to connect with people. Call a friend you've not spoken to for years. Check your contact. Travel. Of course, don't forget to eat good food. As much as you can, avoid psychoactive substances. Avoid alcohol, tobacco, opioids, tramadol, and other substances that could trigger your mental health issues. Before I go, I also make us to notice that sometimes we speak about cannabis being the reason why people come down with psychosis or schizophrenia, psychological problems. The truth is that these individuals might have had underlying mental health illnesses in their genes. So it's possible what triggered that is the fact that that mental health issues is already in their gene. You smoke cannabis and it triggers mental health, you know, and then we say, okay, it's the Igbo that made the person mad. Actually, it's not Igbo. The person already had, you know, mental health problems already existing, but because of the trigger, other stressors could actually trigger mental health problem. But if we try as much as we can to find a way to ease the stresses that we face, then it's possible we could live a life that is free of mental health in Nigeria.